I've been learning more about this type of receiving. I've been very humbled by what God's been doing, and been getting many reports of people who came to the service, and we did just this. We just taught them to receive from God instead of from the preacher. So many reports. One lady said, I came to the service. I had my back was all in S-shaped, and scoliosis, I think it was, really severe. And she was, her whole life had problems. And she said, when you prayed, nothing happened. She said, but I went home from the Sunday morning service, and I had a four-hour nap. She said, I never nap, but I fell asleep for 4 hours. And when I woke up, I put my feet on the floor, and as soon as I did, I heard my back crack and pop and snap, and she said her back straightened up, and she's completely healed. Another pastor, a pastor in America, he said he went to the doctor. Now, he, as a child, his one eye was poked and destroyed, so he had a glass eye in one eye, but his good eye was starting to get a big circle in the middle, macular degeneration, I think it's called. And he went to the doctor, and they said, well, it's just the eye is dying in the middle, and it just gets bigger and bigger until you're blind. And he said that I look at a word, and I see, if I look at Christmas, I see C-H, and I see A-S, but I can't see the middle of the word. And he asked me to pray, and we prayed, and nothing happened that night. And he said the next morning he was reading a magazine, and he noticed his eye was, there was no spot. It was healed. One lady was in the service, and she had broken her arm a few days earlier in a car accident, was in a cast. And we just did this, just said, you know, we need to learn to receive from our Father. You know, we've kind of been focused a little bit on the preacher has to call us out. That tells us that God loves us enough and He wants to heal you. And the preacher has to lay hands on me, and it has to happen right then, or it didn't work. And I was preaching. I preached on this. And at the beginning of the service, just like this. And about 20 minutes into the service, there was a commotion over this side of the building. And such, so much so, I was getting ready to, you know, say, hey, excuse me. I'm preaching here. You need to. Well, what happened was she got healed during the service without anyone praying for her. And she started to rip the cast off her arm. And the family was all excited because they knew what happened to her. You know, there's a place we're going in as a family, and we need to go first so we can share it with the rest of the world, the rest of the church world, that they actually have a Father who loves them. See? So anyways, we were in Brazil, had a wonderful time with the family. We got to go to a little city called Lins with the family. It was wonderful, just a wonderful time, and just almost healing for our family, too, to be able to go. And I've been to Brazil many times, and for my wife and children to come and experience it was just a real blessing, you know. And then this last trip, I was in Brazil again in another city called Goiânia, and you know, Pastor Dave's been going there for years, and there's a huge group of believers that believe like we believe, that pray like we pray, and are serious about prayer. Whole organizations that are just very serious about praying in the Holy Ghost, and their heart is with us, and it's the language barrier that keeps us from knowing them and them from knowing us here at the prayer center. But wonderful group of people, and they love Pastor Dave. Pastor Dave has just changed the message that he's preached, and the love that he's expressed to the people there has just rescued so many people. And so I did a week-long conference there. And we were doing a Saturday morning service. And I thought, you know, it'd be real cute if I get Pastor Dave on Skype. And not on the video, just on the phone, just on audio. And just to say hi, you know. I thought that would be cute. They'll love it. So I got up to preach. Now, I've been preaching all week, you know. And services were good, had miracles, and But there was still, there wasn't just like a real sweeping move that we normally see there. And it was a lot of warfare. You know, the first night they gave me the microphone, and as soon as they had me the microphone, the power went out. Not just in the sanctuary, for 12 blocks. And some fellow climbed up the tower and grabbed grabbed both wires, said God told him to grab both wires, and had 300,000 volts of electricity go through him, I guess, and shut down the power for 12 blocks for about 30 minutes. We just worshiped God and hoping the power would come back on because it was pitch black. And everyone held their phones up. We're using them for lights. And that guy lived, by the way. I don't know how that happened. But So there was, you can tell, there was warfare. And we were breaking through. And so this service Saturday morning, I was getting ready to preach. And we had Pastor Dave on the computer ready to speak. I said, now, Pastor Dave, don't say a word until I give you the key word, which was go ahead and start. So he was quiet on the computer. No one knew. And I had my phone with me, so I hit the button where it would ring. I said, who has their phone on? You're supposed to keep your phone off. So all these people started looking in their purses, you know. Then I made it ring again. And I said, oh, I'm sorry, it's my phone. And I said, hello? Oh, hi. I said, oh, you don't want to talk to me, you want to talk to them. I said, okay. I said, somebody wants to say hi to you. And they all were waiting. They had no idea. And then you hear, I said, okay, go ahead and get started. And Pastor Dave, right on cue, like a professional, said, hello, this is Dave Roberson. And I mean, all those preachers jumped up and shouted, were yelling and cheering. And I thought it was just going to be cute, you know. I thought it would be kind of cute and fun. And then he said hi for a few, just said, he didn't even, I found out later, he didn't really, because of the connection, couldn't hear. So he would kind of say a few things and give it a minute for the interpreter and then say a few more things. And he didn't hear what was going on my end. And he's just talked for about 2 minutes and then he prayed. I said, okay, I want to pray for you now. And I tell you, when Pastor Dave started to pray, the presence of God fell. There was people started crying and weeping. All of a sudden they're on the floor, laying on the floor as he's praying and just worshiping God as he prayed. And then he said, amen. And that was it. We lost him. And I couldn't preach. We went on for 2.5 hours worshiping and praying the Holy Spirit and had a prayer line where we cast out devils. And so I called Pastor Dave up later and I said, you know, I worked hard all week. I prayed. I preached. I prophesied. I labored all week long waiting for a move of the Spirit. And you make one silly phone call. One cute phone call and the presence of God falls. I said, I need to pray in tongues more. It was amazing. And I think part of it too wasn't just the presence that God brought with Pastor Dave, but also they love him so much. I think it was an affirmation to them to know that their spiritual father loved them, you know. But it was just really wonderful. And anyway, so that's our trips. We're back home for a little bit, and I love being home. This is my home. I love being here. I love you. And I'm excited to see what God is doing. I'm humbled more and more every day to see how much is Him and how little of is us. I want to share with you just what He's been really teaching me in my personal life. We'll start in John chapter 17. You know, I'm not supposed to be up here. I'm not supposed to be a successful preacher. I'm supposed to be a failed preacher. Because at 18, when I started to serve God, I was so dysfunctional. I was good at ministry, but I was dysfunctional on the inside. How many know what that means? You know, I was dysfunctional in my personal life, and I was raised that way. I was raised by professional heathens. I wasn't raised in church, you know. And so at 18, I discovered two things. I discovered that if you pray for the sick, they get healed. I had my first miracle happen when I was 18 years old. A boy who was deaf in one ear was healed. But also I discovered I was fully dysfunctional on the inside. And at 18, if you don't change yourself, no one else will. You're kind of stuck with yourself. And what the world teaches you is, you know, that you're stuck with that for the rest of your life. You can struggle and try to change, but you always come back to who you are. That's why I appreciate praying in the Holy Ghost, because it doesn't just help you to deal with your problem, it changes who you are. I'll say it again, that was good preaching. Praying the Holy Ghost doesn't help you deal with your struggles, because, you know, you can discipline people and say, now, you stop this, you do this, you change this. But we always, when we relax, when you take a break, when you let go of your fight, you always return to who you are. Always return to the habits and the structure of who you are. That's why praying the Holy Ghost is so important. Because it helped me to change who I am. So when I go back, I don't go back to the person I used to be. See, I am becoming who He said I am. Christ in me, the hope of glory. So I have more appreciation today for the life I'm living than I ever could. Than I used to. You know, because I'm seeing how much I need Him and how little I'm capable of myself. I want to start in verse 20 of chapter 17. It says, I do not pray for these alone. This is Jesus praying, about to pray. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. So Jesus is about to pray. He said, I do not pray for these alone, the disciples in front of me, but for those who believe in me through their word. It was the disciples who spread the word of God around the world. It was the disciples who became apostles who developed the doctrine of the church. So what Jesus is saying is, I'm not just praying for these in front of me, but for everyone who will come after them, who believe and receive the word that I've taught them. And that would be you and me. Amen? We're born again because of the teachings that they carried out. So he's not just praying for them, he's also praying for you. Verse 21. That they all may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. That they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you. They also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. Now, I have known that I've been born into the family, and that I'm a child of God. But I haven't yet been conscious until lately of how connected I am to God. And Harrison, I've been trying to train him, teach him young about right doctrine instead of wrong doctrine. And I usually get in trouble because I'll share things a little bit above his head, you know. Like we were driving by the cemetery and he said, Daddy, what are all those stones? And I said, well, that's Harrison, that's where they put people when they die. He said, you mean they put you in the ground when you die? And I said, well, I said, really, you don't die. That's where they put your body. You know, I'm trying to teach him not to be afraid of death, because, you know, when you're born again, you don't ever really die. Your body falls off of you, but you don't die. And he said, you mean they cut your head off and put your body in the ground? So then I had to try to figure out how to teach him about the body, the inner man and the outer man. And Christy finally told me, after I got deeper and deeper in trouble, it's okay. But even when he prays, he said, Daddy, is God in heaven? Well, he is, but he's not just in heaven. He's right here. He's right with you all the time. He's not just in heaven. That's a nice saying, you know. But I've been trying to catch myself. Look up to heaven. Lift up your hands to heaven. But God's not just in heaven. He's as much here right now as he is there. He's as much with you every moment of every day as he is in heaven. I mean, if God is everywhere at one time, then how can he forget you? How can he miss you? How could he not notice you? See, when he stands here, he's not standing up at the podium. He's standing right there in front of you. And he knows you. He knows what you're going through. He knows what your needs are. He loves you. He is your father. And he's in front of you. He's with you. And so I've been transforming a little bit in the way I look at my connection to God. It started with that one image that I had a few months ago on the airplane. I saw a glimpse of my spirit, and I saw a tree trunk. And the Lord said, you're a tree. and I thought, well, you know, what do you mean? And it was just an image. Just I saw a tree trunk. And he said, this is how you're supposed to receive from me, like a tree receives. And up to then, I thought I was a farmer. I had to sow my seed to reap it, you know, and had to work hard for my ministry to make it happen. But a tree is different. A tree pulls from the roots. See, now hold your finger there, and let's go over to Jeremiah 17. I'm sharing this because every time since then, every single time that I have prayed, the Lord shows me that image. This image right here. Because it's still, I find in me that when I pray, I think I'm praying to God up in heaven. And that he's sending something by messenger back to me. But it's so much more than that. So much more. Jeremiah 17, we'll start in verse 5. Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord. And he shall be like a shrub in the desert, and shall not see when good comes, but shall inherit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land which is not inhabited. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, and whose hope is in the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters. Now, when I first saw that image, I didn't realize how much scripture there is where God talks to us like we're trees. There's fruit of your spirit. Well, fruit doesn't come from vegetables. Fruit doesn't come from plowing and planting seed. Fruit comes from trees. Anyways, I won't go into all that yet. Not today. Verse 8, for he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river, and will not fear when heat comes, but its leaf will be green, and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. The heart is deceived above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. As a partridge that broods but does not hatch, so is he who gets rich but not by right. It will leave him in the midst of his days, and at his end he will be a fool. A glorious high throne from the beginning is the place of our sanctuary. O Lord, the hope of Israel, all who forsake you shall be ashamed. Those who depart from me, shall be written in the earth because they have forsaken the Lord. And here's the key, the fountain of living waters. Now, when you're born again, you start like a tree. And in this, he's trying to teach me how to receive from God is not looking up to heaven for the rain to come, but to look down to my roots to which I'm connected to receive from the fountain of living water. He is our source. But not in the sense that, Lord, please come and rain on me. In the sense of I am connected to Him. And all that I am comes because I am Him, Him and me. So it doesn't matter the circumstances, the storms that come, the dryness that comes, the hard times that come. Because in this world, how many know that stuff happens? Because we don't receive from the air. We see from our roots. So every time I've needed something or have been praying, He's shown me this image. Now let's go back to John chapter 17. See, Jesus was connected to the Father. Verse 21. That they all may be one. As you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. Now this is the prayer. I in you, you in me, that they may be one in us. There is a place, how do I say this right? The moment you were born again, you were connected to the Father. But there is a place of understanding, of revelation, of knowing who you are. You know, I remember learning, hearing preachers preach, you have to know who you are in Christ. You know, I don't know what that meant. But I'm learning now. It's taken me 20-some years of ministry to start figuring it out. Who I am. It's not me and Him, it's me in Him. It's not Him and I, it's Him in I. I heard a lady preach who I've heard great testimonies about. Wonderful ministry, a lot of miracles. She said, you know, they asked her a question. It was an interview, actually. They said, now, tell me about the miracles. Yeah, it's just so humbling that God's doing this and that. And it's all God, it's not me. And, you know, I was, amen, good, you know. And she talked a little bit. Then she made this statement. She said, you know, we're just little, and God is big. We're just little parts, and God is a big part. And we just go, and she expressed it as we're partnering with God, but we're just a little bit of God. And I thought, no, that's not right. It's I and Him, Him and me. He's the one that does the miracles. But it's not Him coming from heaven. It's Him working through you. You're as much of Him as He is in you. He needs you like you need Him. And then He says, we need each other. Let me keep reading. Verse 22, and the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one. Now you've heard Pastor Dave talk about Arnold Schwarzenegger. The glory that Arnold Schwarzenegger has is his big muscles. And that if Arnold Schwarzenegger were to give you his glory, you would have big muscles. And I've laughed at that over the years. And now I'm starting to catch on. You know how many services I've been in that I've prayed the glory down? As if the glory was a cloud that fell on you. We're not supposed to pray the glory down. We're supposed to walk in the glory from up. Oh, you're not getting this yet. See, you are his child. And not in the child that I have a son and a daughter. It's more than that. You are connected to him. You are part of him. It's more than just his blood in your veins. It's more than just his DNA. You belong to him. He belongs to you. You belong to me. And I belong to you. We're family. There is a place we're supposed to walk in where we're at such unity with God that when you pray, you're not praying to heaven. You're receiving what he's already done for you. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one as we are one. I in them, and you in me, that they may be perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. Father, I desire that they also, whom you gave me, may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which you have given me. For you loved me before the foundations of the world. The glory of God. In the Old Testament, men were not born again. They were servants of God, but they had a nature of sin on the inside of them. In Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all the disciples, they were not born again. Jesus hadn't died yet. See? So when they cast out devils in Jesus' name, when they laid hands on the sick in Jesus' name, it wasn't because they were born again. They were casting out devils in the name of Jesus who was walking over here beside them. He was lending them his authority. He said, I give you authority to cast out devils and to heal diseases. He lent them his authority. See, and the church today, I believe, has built ministries and doctrine around how the disciples operated in ministry. The church today, I believe, mostly has been built on an Old Testament structure of serving God, believing things from heaven, believing things from outside in. See, every person that Jesus cast the devil out was not born again. So in the Old Testament, when God worked through people, he had to fall on them from the outside down because they were not born again. Jesus was the first and only example that we can look at of how a believer is supposed to walk, up to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We're not to use the disciples. We can use the apostles. But the disciples were not our example. Jesus was our example. He was fearless. When he walked, he didn't think about his problems. He didn't concern himself about things. We have built a whole doctrine about how Jesus was so wealthy. I've heard this. You know, his coat was seamless. And the idea is to teach you that peace that Jesus walked in was because he had lots of money. And that he was a sharp businessman and capable. And that's why he was fearless, because he had all this stuff. Because it's unnatural for your natural mind to walk in peace. To be fearless, not because you have lots of money, but because you have a Father who's your source. When he took us through our season of changing us from looking at ministry as our source and people as our source, and to start looking at him, it was kind of like, now, You're going to have to prove to me, this is kind of what God would say to me, Alan, my slow child. You're going to have to prove to me that I'm your provider. You can't just say it. You're going to have to prove it. Because for him to be your provider means that you move by obedience and not by needs. See? And so we went through a couple years of every month just, I mean, we would barely make it. And I could work. I'm a hard worker. I could have preached. I had lots of invitations. But I knew in my spirit he wanted me to trust him. I said, God, just, I have so many things I can do. I can start this. I can change this. I can fix this. Just give me $1 million. Why don't you just give me $1 million? I mean, that I'll double tithe. I'll give the prayer center this much. I'll slip Gary this much. And different people, I'll give this and this. Just give me so much money and I'll, no problem. But he wasn't interested in me having peace in finances. He wanted me to have peace because I knew that everything he asked me to do, there would always be enough money. See, that's why it's our daily bread. Because he takes pleasure. Say pleasure. We may think it's in our sufferings, but it's really, he takes pleasure in your relationship with him. He takes pleasure in every day being there for you. He takes pleasure in every day talking to you, fellowshipping you. The more you need him, the more he likes it. Much of what I was taught had to do with me being in charge of my finances. That, you know, if you had lack, you didn't have faith. If you had a right to be blessed financially, and that you should stand for it and believe it. Now, I believe that myself. I believe in prosperity. I'm a great prosperity preacher. But not by planting seeds anymore. Prosperity doesn't come from planting seeds. Prosperity comes from learning who you really are. Prosperity for us comes from receiving from our roots, from our connection to God, and not from the outside in. And what he was teaching me was, you have to prove this. This is something you just can't believe for. You have to walk it out. I'm so thankful. I hated going through that season. I hated it. I never wish it on my best enemies. The emotional turmoil I went through, the sleepless nights, the battle of my emotions during that season. But you know, I wasn't battling with God. I was battling with my old man trying to tell me it's not going to work, he's going to abandon you. Because I always believed that God is a provider. I just didn't believe I was worthy of being provided for. See? It's kind of what he's been helping me to live, but I'm beginning to see how it works. That my source, my nutrients, my provision, my healing, my needs are met not from heaven raining down on me, but because I am connected to my Father. It's not by the atmosphere. Glory doesn't come down from heaven. Glory is who you are. I give you my glory. I am making you who I am. I in you, you in me. I have one of our ushers bring up three chairs for me up here, if I could. Three separate chairs. One of our strong ushers will work on that. How many know that you're born again? Wave your hand at me. Oh, I need to try that again. That was time for an altar call here. I can see we have more born again on this side than we have over here. I can see we have a good outreach service over here. How many here are born again? Wave your hand at me. Amen. Aren't you glad you're born again? I have more peace in my life today than I did 5 years ago. Because I'm learning who I am in Christ. I'm not just learning from teaching. I'm learning because God, by the Holy Spirit, has been transforming me into who I really am. Christ in me, the hope of glory. Harrison was in his room one day. This was a few years ago, and he was scared by a little toy that was casting a shadow in his room. I'm afraid. I thought I'd teach him. I said, Harrison, you don't have to be afraid. No, I am. I said, Harrison, you know, the name of Jesus. If you speak the name of Jesus, all fear has to go. I said, really? I said, yeah. Okay. I said, now say, in the name of Jesus, fear, go. I said, in the name of Jesus, fear, go. And he opened one eye and he looked. And his toy was still sitting there. I said, it's still there, Daddy. I said, oh, I got a long ways to go to learn how to teach. I'm glad I don't do kids' church. Because see, it says that Jesus is at the right hand of the Father. Can you say amen? So in heaven, there's the Father and the throne, and then Jesus at the right hand. Can you all see this? Now, for years I thought I was beside Jesus. He's my older brother. See? So, there was the Father, then Jesus, then me, and then, well, the Father, and Jesus, and Apostle John, yeah. Apostle Peter, Apostle Dave Roberson, Gary Carpenter. And I'm down here somewhere, you know. And that's how I thought it was. But look over in Ephesians. Keep your finger in John. You know, doesn't matter what you're going through. Doesn't matter where you're coming from or what failings you have. You know, we pray for the person who's been abused, but there's also hope for the person who was the abuser too. This is a walk where we are not just changing ourselves, but we are transforming ourselves from who our family made us into who God has made us. We're on a road to where you're not limited by yourself. You're not limited by your past. Now, if you don't pray in the Holy Ghost, if you don't spend the time doing the things that causes you to grow, you won't grow. I can tell you of years of my life where I thought praying in tongues was just to make me peculiar. My church never taught me when I was saved that praying in tongues was an actual tool that you can use to change things. It was just something we did in the service once in a while. It was something that, you know, was cool. But it wasn't until I heard a service from Pastor Dave when I was in my early 20s when he said, you know, if you pray in tongues a lot, it will change you. I thought, well, I tried everything else. I might as well try this. Thank God for praying in the Holy Ghost. You don't have to stay the same. You're not just changing circumstances. You're changing who you are. You're changing who you are every minute you're praying in the Holy Spirit. One day, today, this is your future. Because this is what God can do with you. This is how much He can use you. This is how much you're going to go with Him. Because this is who you are. So this is your pathway. But you spend an hour praying in the Holy Ghost, you just increased your future because you've changed. You spend another hour praying in tongues, you'll walk in more stuff because you've changed. Not because you talked them into it. Not because you talked them from heaven down to you, but because you changed. You're walking out of who you are in the natural and walking into who God wants you to be in the spiritual. Where are we? Ephesians? I was in Ephesians, but I preached my way out of it. Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 6. Well, I'll start in verse 5. Even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ, by grace you have been saved, and raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, you're seated in heavenly places. Here is the Father. Scripture tells you are an heir to the kingdom of God. Here's Jesus. Here's you. Now, it's okay to worship Jesus. He likes that. It's okay to worship the Holy Spirit. He doesn't mind. But really, the Holy Ghost is here to be our guide, our teacher, our comforter. Jesus came to make a way for his Father to become your Father. So when you worship, there's no wrong in it. But I'm just telling you, for my life, when I get quiet with God, I don't go through a formula. Make everyone happy. You know, Holy Spirit, I give you this much time. Jesus, I give you this much time. Father, now I give you this much time. You know, click. They're not touchy. You can't do wrong in worship. But I tell you what's done my heart the best is he's been teaching me how he is my Father. See, he's the one who gave you that title. He's the one who said, call me Father. He wants you to call him Father. So when I worship, I say, I thank you, Jesus, that you made a way for your Father to be my Father. Father, I love you. I glorify you. Your will in my life. Thank you for being so loving of me. Thank you for your mercy and your grace. But also now, thank you for your glory. Because not only is his glory is not a feeling that comes down. It's not a his glory is not a cloud that falls and we all get excited. His glory isn't the container that falls from heaven and brings miracles with it from heaven. See, his glory is him helping you to walk with him and in him. Jesus said, Father, help them. Him, Jesus and the Father and Jesus, but help them to be in us. See, it says, you're seated in heavenly places. Where? In Christ Jesus. See, I thought it was God the Father, Jesus the Son, and then me. And the Holy Spirit, he's right here. But it didn't say that with him. It says, in him. In Jesus. In Jesus. There's a part of this that can seem, oh, no. That's pretty prideful. But that's just religion talking. Religion says, no, you will never be worthy to be received by God the way Jesus is received. But I'm telling you, that's just religious thinking. That's religious doctrine. We've been trained for generations to be worshipers of God, servants of God, so much that it seems impossible to see ourselves as in him. We're not God. We're never going to be God. We're never going to be deity. But we are children of God. And it's more than just being born into his family. You are connected to him. But it goes even further. Let me read it to you again. John chapter 17. Now, what's interesting is this is not an overnight process, you know. Pastor Dave, lay hands on me so I can have the same anointing that you have. It doesn't come that way. It takes time. Like a tree. You know, I know they have good pears out here and different fruits, and Mark here, he bought a pear tree this spring, and he was all excited because he was going to hand out pears. You know, he's going to impress you with his bountiful harvest of pears. So he bought a pear tree and planted it in his yard and began to hand out notices and say, this fall time, I'll have so many pears that you can just come to me. So he planted that pear tree this springtime, and he's been watering it and watching it, and he's going to have a pear barbecue at his house, and invite all his friends over, but the problem is he's been looking at his pear tree, and there's no flowers, there's no buds yet, there's no leaves. He's wondering, what's wrong with this dumb pear tree? I got a bad pear tree. What's wrong with this dumb pear tree? I bought this thing. I've done everything the instructions said. I planted it and we're so good to it. And there's no fruit yet. What is wrong with this pear tree? He's a little embarrassed because he thinks he won't make it by harvest time, by fall time. Because there's not even little pears. You know, he'd hand out little pears, but there's no little pears. Well, we all know why, don't we? Because a pear tree takes a long time to grow first before it produces fruit. You know, I've been praying in the Holy Ghost. I've been doing the message and worshiping God, and nothing's changed. I guess I'm going to go back to be a farmer. That way you get fruit right away. Every year you get fruit. Plant a seed, receive a harvest. Plant a seed. You know, I used to be a mean preacher. Well, I was still a mean preacher, but I was meaner. Well, I wasn't meaner. I was just wrong. I remember one little lady came up to me. It was so sad. She said, I'm believing God for my finances. God's just not providing. I said, well, do you tithe? No. I have to admit, I'm not faithful. Well, I'm not going to pray for you. I can't pray for you if you're not tithing. We were training people how to be farmers, how to plant a seed and receive it. If you didn't have a miracle, then in your finances, well, have you planted enough seed? Maybe you haven't planted enough seed last year financially to receive your harvest this year. Now, it is true that if you're a faithful steward, God will trust you with more. But there is something about being a farmer where you're in charge. See? But here is a tree. I've been praying. I've been believing, I've been worshiping, I've been meditating the Word, and nothing's changing. Well, yeah, because it takes time. It takes time for a tree to grow before you see fruit. But if you don't quit, what's going to happen? Fruit will come. And you know the best thing about fruit trees? Once the fruit starts to come, the next year, without you having to plant and till the ground, guess what shows up next year? Fruit. There's fruit that comes as your finances, fruit that comes as your ministry, that your family saved. This is what the Lord's been showing me. Every prayer I need is coming from my new nature, being anchored in Him and receiving from Him. That doesn't matter what it looks like on the outside. It doesn't matter if the world is starving because of drought. I have no worries because my source is not outside. My source is because I am inside, rooted in Him. And the fountain of living waters, my Father, is feeding me everything I need. Preacher, I'm called. I'm supposed to be doing this. I'm supposed to be doing that. But all I've been doing is praying and nothing's happening. Doesn't look, well, that's because you're dying to you. It's only your flesh. You know where fear comes from? Not from your spirit. It comes from your flesh. You know where hurts come from? Not from your spirit, man. It comes from your fleshly man. Those wounds, those hurts. He said, call me Father, because he wants to be your Father. He wants to be your source. He loves when you need him. He loves when you need him so much that you find that he likes to keep secrets from you. He doesn't want to tell you all the great things in store for you, because he wants to surprise you with them. Oh, I'm preaching really good now. You know, I was trained to have a schedule 2 years in advance booked up for preaching. You know, that was the goal, man. You talk to preachers, you try to book them. Oh, I'm scheduled up for 2 years. You have to, I can come in 3 years. Man, God's really using that. But now the Lord has me not know what I'm doing for, you know, 3 months at a time. Three months from now, I can't tell you what I'm doing. Why? Because he likes to keep secrets from me. He loves to surprise me. He loves to be the one who blesses me. He loves to be the one who gets credit for everything in my life, because he's winning me to him. He's proving to me I'm going to be here tomorrow. You know, when they had the manna, it says that every day you can go out and collect the manna, but if you collected too much, what would happen to it? It would go bad. Maggots would be in it. Now, I know me. Me and Mike back there. Mike's a big guy. Strong. Me and him would make a plan. It's okay now. It's manna day. We're going to go out and we're going to collect at least a month's worth of manna. I'll distract. You gather a bunch and stick it in the back room. So we would do that, at least for the first day. We would have a whole month full of manna. It wouldn't matter if you were starving. We would store it. And then the next day we get there, and what would happen? It'd all be rotten. No good. But you know what we'd still do? We'd do it again the next day. Because we were afraid that God wouldn't show up tomorrow. So then we'd do it the next day. For 5 months straight, we would do the same thing. And then after 5 months and 1 day, I'd say, Mike, I'm a little bit tired of sneaking around collecting all this manna. He said, me too. Okay, well, let's just not do that. Why? Because we proved to ourselves. We let God prove to us, and we prove to ourselves that he'll be here tomorrow. Once you trust that he'll be here tomorrow, you're not trying to hoard. You're not worried about what you don't have, because you have him. You might as well get used to it. We might as well get used to it. Because this is how he operates. That even if you're called to finances, you won't be allowed to hoard. You won't even be allowed to have the power to say, let me bless you, brother. Now, if you're real nice to me, I'll bless you too. You won't have that power, because it's not your money. It's his. We might as well get used to trusting in him. Because it goes beyond that, John chapter 17, verse 20. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you. That's the way Jesus walked. That they also, talking about us, may be one in us. That the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one, just as we are one. See, it's not just us seated with him, but it's me and you and Jesus in the Father. See, there's more than just serving Him. There's more than just walking with Him. I can't tell you where I cannot tell you where this has taken me yet. I can't describe to you what that means fully. A long ways to go on that. But I can tell you this. There is so much more available to us than what we're walking in. And in myself, I have been looking for results as an Old Testament saint, looking for God to come, instead of learning how to walk in Him and receive from Him. And not just receive from Him, be in Him. Every need we have, He wants to fulfill. Doesn't mean desperately, oh God, rescue me. Angels come on white horses. Dun, 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 dun. No. I'm rooted in Him. And over the last few months, every time I've went to pray for something, every time I've went to my Father and I look up, He corrects me. He says, you're in me. We're together. See? And as we keep growing, more fruit will come. As we keep growing, we'll learn to walk in who we really are. That means when He needs a miracle over here, He's going to send you. Oh, I'll try that again. When He needs a miracle over here, He'll send you. I'll try that again. When He needs a miracle over here, He'll send you. Amen. It doesn't matter if over here is in Africa, if it's across the street. It doesn't matter if it's across the world. It doesn't matter if it's to the poor people, the rich people. It doesn't matter, because what He wants to get this person who needs a miracle is an answer from someone who represents Him the right way. When I started to get phone calls for TV. It was one in particular which was really a wonderful opportunity to come do TV, and it was just a really neat opportunity for me. And I said, "Oh God, you're rewarding my faithfulness. Hallelujah! Thank you, Lord. I've been so faithful to follow you, and now you're." And He corrected me. He said, "No, it's not you. It's not your faithfulness I'm rewarding." See, faithfulness means serving. It's not your faithfulness I'm rewarding. It's the truth in you that I need to get to them. In other words, He was promoting the truth in me. Not me. He was promoting Him in me. The more of Him you let grow inside of you, your future changes. He needs us to keep on this course. He needs you. Because it's not just Him and us. We're all together. We're a family. If He wants to bless my brother with money, it doesn't fall from heaven. He sends someone to go do it. See, if He wants to express His love to someone with a hug, He can't do it without you. He needs you to go and hug them for Him. If He needs someone to have a miracle over here, He can't just give them a miracle. He needs you to go. It's different preaching here. There's nothing we can preach that's going to change you. It's only going to encourage you to keep praying, to keep worshiping, to keep confessing the Word, to keep meditating the Word, to keep fasting. Because these are the things that cause us to grow. And as we grow, the old man, the old flesh, will begin to be crucified. And the real you, who you are, will begin to grow up. Thank you, Father. Why don't you stand with me? Thank you, Jesus. Let's just lift up our hands a little bit. Right now, at this moment, your Father is right here in front of you. And He's not just standing in front of you. He is connected to you and you are connected to Him. It is His greatest desire for you and I to receive from Him. Like a tree receives all of its nutrients from the water. It's His desire for you and I to let go and to become a part of Him. I want to ask you this morning, just with your hands lifted, just to talk to Him for right now. He's your Father. Father, we love you. We glorify you. I magnify you. Thank you for loving me so much. Thank you for loving me so much. Thank you for loving me so much. I worship you. I glorify you, magnify you. You're everything to me. You are everything to me. You're all that I have. You're all that I am. I love you. I worship you. I'm safe with you. Glorify you, magnify you. I worship you, Lord. Jesus, I worship you. I love you. Thank you for making your Father my Father. I worship you, Lord. Love you. Exalt you, magnify you. Now, as you worship Him quietly, in your heart, I want you to expect things to be different at home. I want us to expect our finances to change. Expect our families to change and our health to begin to change. See, when I tell you that you're not alone, it's not just Him in the house with you. He is in you and you're in Him. Father, we're not going to wait another moment for rescue from heaven. We're expecting things to begin to change. In our lives, in our homes, in our finances, in our health. Because we're in you and you're in us. In Jesus. That we're not requesting God to rescue us. We're walking in who we are. And we take authority in our home, in our bodies. And we say that we're healed. We say that we're whole. We say that we're provided for.